Well, thankfully, God does set people free from guilt and sin. That is a prayer that He delights to answer. I'd like to ask you, if you would, please, to turn your Bible to Proverbs chapter 4 as we get started here tonight. Proverbs chapter number 4. For quite a while now, on Sunday nights, we've been studying the path of God's will from primarily the book of Proverbs, trying to apply the wisdom of Proverbs to this question of walking in God's will. And we've brought in verses from other places of the Scripture as well, quite a few of them along the way. But I want us to just, since we're getting close to the end of the series here, I thought we would just go back tonight to get started to Proverbs chapter 4 and our theme verses for the whole series, verses 18 and 19. You know, if you have never memorized Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 18, I would encourage you to do that, to make this verse a meditation for you in 2024. Add it to your list of memory verses. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 18, we're going to read through verse 19. Why don't you just read it out loud with me? You can just start your memory plan right here and right now, okay? So read it with me. The path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. I left off the first word of verse 18. Sorry about that. Let's try it one more time, shall we? But the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. Shall we pray together? Father, we thank you for the light of your word. And we thank you for illuminating our understanding in this series about your will. That you have a will for us and you have a good plan and purpose in mind for your children. And so be our prayer as we study together this evening and as we consider the beginning of 2024, that you would indeed cause the light to shine upon our path and that you would direct us step by step unto your perfect day. We look forward to the day that we will stand in the perfect light of God in the glorious new creation. And we look forward to the day when the Lord Jesus will sound the trumpet and come to take us home to be with him. We pray that that would happen in 2024. And we pray that in the meantime that you would find us walking in the path of your will. Father, I pray that you would give us wisdom to understand the scriptures and to apply them this evening. Give me a voice tonight to speak, we pray, and we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so let's go ahead and remind ourselves here of what we have learned in this series. Verses 18 and 19 present a contrast between the path of the just and the way of the wicked. So the wicked have their own road. It's not a road that we want to walk on. It is a place that is characterized by sin. It's the path of sinners, the way of the wicked, it says. It's a place of the darkness of error and ignorance and foolish thinking. You know, we live in a dark world. It's a world that is dark with sin and deception and all kinds of foolishness and ignorance. I think often of the verse, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. And folks, people are being destroyed because they do not know the light of the truth of God. Where there is no vision, the Bible says, the people perish. Where there is no word from the Lord, that's what the idea of the vision, it's an oracle, it's a word from God. Where there is no word of God, people perish. Folks, that is the world in which we live. We live in a dark world. We live in a world where people don't know where they're going. They don't know what they're doing. They don't know what they believe. They think they know what they believe, but they're building their lives upon a shifting sand of deception and ignorance and foolishness. And one day they will fall, never more to rise. They don't even know at what they stumble, the Bible says. They don't even understand that the very things that they think are the things they want in life are the things that are going to bring God's wrath into their lives. They don't even understand that the things that they view as solutions are actually their problems. We are in a depraved world, an upside down world where good is evil and evil is good. That's a dark place. But if you're a child of God, you're not walking on the way of the wicked. You're walking in the light of God, and that light comes from God Himself. He sheds that light upon our path in different ways. He gives us the light of parental instruction. That's where we can begin to learn the wisdom and the will and the way of God. He gives us His own Word, and if you're a believer, you should be attuning yourself personally to the wisdom of God's Word so that you can have His light on your path. Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path, the Bible says. He gives us the light of His own personal presence. I spoke about that this morning, that not only is God our leader, He's also our companion. He's beside us. He's walking by our side. He's with us every step of the way. And so we need to do what Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all of our heart, lean not to our own understanding, but in all our ways acknowledge Him so that He can direct our paths. The more we get to know God, acknowledge Him, know Him, walk close to Him, the easier it is for Him to direct our paths in His will. So we have the light of His personal presence. We have the light of personal integrity. That is the work of God within you to make you like Himself. So the more you get into the Word, the more the Spirit of God, the Word of Christ can dwell in you richly in all wisdom, you become like Jesus. His desires become your desires. The things that He hates, you start to hate. The things that He loves, you start to love. And you begin to make decisions based upon the formation of integrity within. That's a process that takes place as you grow in God's Word. So you have the light of personal integrity. And then finally, the light of godly counsel. And that's the point that we're talking about this evening. That none of us is an island to Himself. And so, yes, God gives us the light, and He will personally guide us and shepherd us, but it's also wise for us to seek wisdom from other people. And so here's our verse again. Here's our principle that we're talking about right now. If you want to walk in God's will, walk in the light of godly counsel, here's the verse, Proverbs 19:20. Hear counsel and receive instruction, that thou mayest be wise in thy latter end. So if you want to have wisdom when you get to the end of the road, you have to attain that wisdom somewhere along the way. And one of the ways that you can get it is by hearing it from others who have it. So hear counsel. Listen well. And it also says receive it. That means take it to heart. Make it a part of you so that you can be wise, and then can in turn give counsel to others. All right, so as we talk about the path of godly counsel, we've been discussing three main points. First of all, we've talked about the function of godly counsel. We have talked about how to acquire godly counsel. And tonight we're continuing with the third point or outline, the rejection of godly counsel. And when it comes to rejecting counsel, you know, there are all kinds of ways to do it. Sadly, this is the other choice, okay? Every person, we all have a choice to hear it and receive it, like our verse says, or the other choice is to reject it. And sadly, there are many people in this world who are doing exactly that. They are rejecting the wisdom and the counsel of God and godly people who would seek to speak God's wisdom into their lives. And so, we talked just last time about the first way to reject godly counsel, just the first point of these six, and that is by going through the motions of seeking counsel. One way that people play games and remain ignorant and foolish and reject wisdom is by pretending to seek it out. Proverbs 17, verse 16 says, "Wherefore is there a price in the hand of a fool to get wisdom, seeing he hath no heart to it?" The fool may say that he really needs wisdom. He may even come with money in his hand to obtain it, and yet when he gets it, it doesn't do him any good because he never had a heart for it in the first place. He never had the desire for it in the first place. And so why would people do that? Why would people go looking for counsel when they don't really have a heart for it? What sense does that make? Now, we talked about this last week, several possible reasons why people seek counsel insincerely. Okay, they might want to validate their own desires. They might want to impress or please other people. They may want extra leverage with objectors, or they may just be self-deceived about their true motives. But the price of wisdom is a humble, teachable heart. A humble, teachable heart. So our 40th principle of knowing God's will that we have covered in this series, honestly evaluate your motives and objectives before seeking godly counsel. So ask yourself, why am I seeking counsel? What do I hope to achieve from this conversation? Make sure that you are going with a prepared, humble, teachable heart that's willing to learn and change and grow. That, I think, is about where my voice gave out last Sunday night. So now we're going to move on to the next point in our outline. The second way to reject godly counsel is by avoiding counsel. By avoiding counsel. Again, I want to show you a verse here. Proverbs chapter 15 and verse number 12 says, "A scorner loveth not one that reproveth him, neither will he go unto the wise." So another way to reject godly counsel is to do our best to stay away from people who might want to try to share it with us. Whether we admit this to ourselves or not, we say to ourselves, you know what, I think I know what that person is going to say, and I don't really want to hear it, and so I'm just not going to go to that person, I'm not going to ask that person, I'm not going to seek advice or counsel from that person, because I'm afraid that that person is going to tell me what I need to hear, what they think I need to hear, and I really would prefer to have somebody tell me what I want to hear, and so I'm just going to stay away from the people who would seek to speak godly wisdom into my life. That's the attitude of a scorner. A scorner, especially as that term is used in the book of Proverbs, refers to somebody who knows the truth already but has decided to reject it. So this is a person who already knows in his heart what is right and is making a choice to go the wrong way, to reject wisdom, to stay away from the right path. And so the attitude of a scorner is, hey, do not trouble me with the truth. I don't want to hear the truth. But you know what? There are lots of blatant scorners out there in the world. People who do not know the Lord, they don't love the Lord, and they don't want to do the will of the Lord, and they don't want to hear the word of the Lord. And they're probably not here in church tonight because they have no interest in God or the things of God. They've rejected that. They've turned their back upon that. They're going their own way. But you don't have to be a blatant, unbelieving scorner to indulge in the kind of behavior that's described in Proverbs 15:12. We can all be susceptible to the temptation to steer clear of the people who care about us the most, who are praying for us the most, and that we should be seeking counsel from the most, because we're set on doing our own thing and having our own way. All right, so that brings me to another principle of knowing God's will, number 41. It's my goal, my intention, when I finish this series, to prepare a handout with all the principles of knowing God's will on it that we have covered in this series and make that available to you. I don't know if I'm going to get to 50 or not, but that is my goal, okay? We'll see if we get there, but right now we're on number 41. Here it is, principle number 41, a basic unwillingness to engage with godly counselors about a big decision is likely a sign you're about to make a bad decision. A basic unwillingness to engage with godly counselors about a big decision is likely a sign that you're about to make a bad decision. Now, of course, there are decisions that you don't need to seek counsel for. There are decisions that you don't need to, you know, that maybe don't merit taking up other people's time. I'm not talking about those type of things. So it might be, you know, somebody would say, well, I don't really want to take up somebody's time. It's not really necessary. I don't really need to do that. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about an unwillingness that stems from a willful and unteachable heart. That stems from a heart that says, I don't really want to be told something different than what I desire. So remember, if the decision that you are about to make is in the will of God, God is well able to get your wise, godly counselors onto that same page with you. Okay, if those people walk with the Lord, it's not hard for God to help them understand as well and to be on the same page. And so you would be very unwise to put your head in the sand and press ahead without seeking counsel. You know, if I'm seeking to make a big decision, I want the godly counselors that God has put into my life to speak into that matter. I want them to share their wisdom with me because I don't want to be an island to myself. I don't want to be off in left field somewhere thinking that I've got it all figured out when really I don't. And so God puts people into all of our lives to help us with these things. And if you're going to make a decision that is in God's will, one way that you can verify that it is in God's will is that those people who are responsible for you, who love you, who care for you, who are godly people, who are out in front of you, showing you the way to go, that those people will be cheering you on. That's what you want. That is a wonderful confirmation that you are walking ahead in the path of God's will. And so if you're trying to stay away from those people because you already have an idea, they're not going to approve, that is a sign that you're about to make a bad decision. Don't put your head in the sand. Don't pretend that if you ignore the wisdom of the people that you should be seeking wisdom from, that if you just ignore their wisdom, that it's all going to be okay. The Bible says the way of transgressors is hard. Okay, so if you want to go on the hard road, if you want to learn it yourself in the school of hard knocks, then this is a good way to do it. Just ignore your godly counselors, don't seek any wisdom, and just press ahead on your own. That's how you can learn it your own way, but it would be much more wise to learn from others who maybe have already made some of the mistakes that you could make, and they've already learned some wisdom, and they've learned some things they can share with you to keep you from repeating those same errors. So, if it's in God's will, God is well able to get those counselors onto the page with you, and that would be a great confirmation for you that you are headed in the right direction. But that's the second way people reject counsel. They just avoid it. They just stay away from it. Number three, third way to reject godly counsel is by not listening to it. Not listening to it. So, person might hear it, but they're not paying attention. They're not receiving it. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 8 says, the wise in heart will receive commandments, but a prating fool shall fall. The prating fool is literally the talking fool. It is literally the foolish of lips. Okay, so this is a person who's so busy running his mouth, he can't hear what anybody else is saying. You know, that's a great way to fail to benefit from wise counsel. Why? Because you're not listening to it. Why? Because you're too busy running your own mouth. I've met a lot of people like this in my life, okay? I've met several people like this when I'm out visiting in the community. So this will happen. I'm out knocking on doors. I'll knock on somebody's door. They find out that I'm a pastor of a church. Then they launch into a lengthy discussion of all their religious experiences, qualifications, and knowledge. Okay, it's kind of like they want to tell me everything they know about the Bible in one conversation. I mean, and many times, it's obvious they're way out in left field. Okay, they think they know the Bible, they don't know the Bible. All right, they're off in left field. They have a distorted view of Bible doctrines, or it's obvious that their lifestyle. There's some serious gaps in basic Bible obedience. They're not living an obedient Christian life, and that's evident from the conversation, and the whole time I can't get a word in edgewise. And so from time to time, I'm, you know, maybe in the conversation, I try to, you know, kind of share a helpful truth in there somewhere, but it's kind of like, you know, trying to swim upstream against the raging, you know, flood of all the stuff that's coming at me. And so I try to share a little helpful truth, and they just brush it aside, and they keep right on going with what they think they know. I remember, for example, I met a man over on the east side of town. Knocked on his door one day. He came to the door, and I tell you what, this guy, I mean, he, it was interesting talking to him, but he just had a lot to say about everything he knew about the Bible. He had notebooks that he had written and all kinds of things, and this guy was, he was way off base. He wasn't going to any church because every church he had gone to, they had run him out of the church. I could understand why. He even thought that he had something special going on where he was able to control the weather. And, I mean, there were just a lot of very strange ideas coming out of his mouth. And at a certain point in the conversation, you know, I said to him, the Bible does say that we are supposed to be in church. And when I pointed that out, I remember his response. He very quickly, very abruptly, he just said, "Oh, I know all that." He just dismissed that and kept right on going with everything that he wanted me to know. You know, when somebody comes in to seek counsel from me, I try to start out by being a good listener. I take the time to listen before launching into what I think the Bible has to say about that person's situation. And I have learned that the best counsel that I give to people is often not the first thing that comes to my mind. So I need to take some time to prayerfully consider what I've heard, especially if it's a complex, a weighty, serious issue. And so oftentimes, somebody comes in to talk to me about something that's weighty, that's serious, that's complicated. Many times, I don't really share any counsel with them until the second meeting. It's the first meeting, I mainly want to listen. I want to just absorb what's going on. Then I want to take some time to prayerfully reflect upon it. Maybe even spend some time reading the scripture, seeking wisdom from God about it. And then when God begins to lay upon my heart what I need to share with them, then in the second meeting, I will do more of the talking and share more with what I think, you know, people need to understand from God's word. But sadly, I have found that sometimes when people come to meet with me for counsel, they don't really want to listen. They're far more interested in talking. They want to control the conversation, and they're so convinced of their own rightness that I have a hard time getting a word in edgewise. So as long as you think that you are the wisest person in the room, you'll have a hard time learning wisdom from anybody else. So that brings me to the third principle of knowing God's will. Number 42, third one for tonight. When you're on the receiving end of godly counsel, be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. When you're on the receiving end of godly counsel, be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. Of course, that comes from the book of James, chapter 1, but that is the wisest possible approach. There are other approaches, and I've been on the receiving end of most of them, okay? When you come to be on the receiving end of godly counsel, don't talk over your counselor. Don't argue with your counselor. Don't shout down your counselor. Don't tell your counselor that he doesn't know what he's talking about. Don't lecture your counselor. And don't walk out on your counselor while he's trying to tell you what you need to hear. And again, I think most of those have happened to me at various times in my life. As our key verse says, if we're going to benefit from wise counsel, We need to develop the wisdom of a hearing heart instead of a talking tongue. A hearing heart instead of a talking tongue. Okay, so that's the next way to despise or to reject counsel. Then, number four, ways to reject godly counsel by not listening to it. And then finally, for tonight, by despising it. By despising it. Blatantly refusing to hear and obey, in which case, if you do that long enough, you may forfeit the opportunity to receive godly counsel from people who otherwise might want to give it to you. Okay, if you are blatant enough and in rejecting and repeatedly rejecting the wisdom that people who love you and care for you and are responsible for you, the wisdom that those people are trying to speak into your life, if you keep pushing it away and rejecting it and going your own way, you know, there may come a day when those people stop trying to speak to you. I want to share a few verses with you from Proverbs that deal with this point. Proverbs chapter 9, verses 7 and 8 says, "He that reproveth a scorner getteth to himself shame, and he that rebuketh a wicked man getteth himself a blot. Reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love thee." All right, so there's some wisdom there. Don't waste your time trying to reprove a scorner. It's not going to turn out well. On the other hand, it is never a waste of time to rebuke a wise person, because that person will benefit from that rebuke. They will learn and grow from it. It says, if you try to reprove a scorner, you'll get to yourself shame and a blot. You know the word blot there refers to a blemish, like a bruise or a black eye. So in other words, if you try to share wisdom with a hardened scorner, it won't benefit him. It's only going to hurt you. He'll not appreciate your efforts, and he will lash out against you in retaliation for stirring up his conscience. You go to him, you try to confront him, you try to deal with him about a sin issue or his scorning and sinful ways, and he's going to become angry. His approach is going to be to try to kill the messenger because he doesn't want to hear the message that you're trying to share. And therefore, don't even try. Don't waste your time trying to rebuke a scorner. So on the one hand, yes, I do believe that we should make every effort to help people who are rebelling against the truth, who are rejecting the truth to go their own way of sin. Jude chapter 1, verses 22 and 23 says, "And of some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garments spotted by the flesh." You know, that verse says that we should be persistent and creative about how we seek to rescue people who are going the wrong direction. That this is something that we should try our very best, maybe through compassion, maybe through stronger measures, trying to pluck that person away from the path that is taking them toward destruction. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1 says, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted." So you see a brother that's going the wrong way. They've been overtaken in sin, the deception of the devil. They've been ensnared in that deception. Then you seek to restore that person in a spirit of meekness. But you know what? If you keep getting pushback, if you keep getting blots, black eyes for your efforts when you try to admonish somebody in the truth, there does come a time to walk away and leave that person alone. Now, of course, we keep praying for that person, but there does come a time sometimes when we have to put that person into God's hands and stop talking to them and trying to share wisdom with them. Jesus said, "Cast not your pearls before swine, lest they turn again and rend you." Okay, people who are that bent on living in the mud pit of sin may not be deserving of your efforts to share with them the pearls of truth. If people are really determined to live in that mud pit of sin and rebellion, sometimes you have to let them do it. Sometimes you have to let them go. Titus chapter 3, verses 10 and 11 says, "A man that is an heretic after the first and second admonition, reject, knowing that he that is such is subverted and sinneth, being condemned of himself." So there is a time if a person is contentious, is heretical, is schismatic, and you continue to go to that person, you seek to admonish that person, there comes a time where you stop admonishing them. And really that is descriptive of a process of church discipline, where you take a person through that process, and eventually, if they will not hear the church, then you have to put them out of the church and consider them to be a heathen and a publican. Now, Proverbs says it this way. Proverbs 23 and verse 9 says, "Speak not in the ears of a fool, for he will despise the wisdom of thy words." How sad it would be to be in a place in our life where we have tried so hard not to listen to godly counsel that we no longer even have the opportunity to hear it. How sad that would be. That is truly a place of darkness and danger. Folks, that is not talking about walking on the path of the just. That's talking about walking in the way of the wicked. Okay, this is not a way to find the perfect will and the perfect day of God. If you are despising the wisdom of those who God has put into your life to bring the wise counsel of God's word into your life, to speak wisdom into your life, if you are rejecting those people and what they have to say, and you're saying, "Get away, I don't want to hear it, don't talk to me about it, don't tell me what God says in His word, I don't want to hear any of that stuff," that is going to take you into the darkness really fast. That's not walking in God's light. So I want to make a couple of applications, and I'd like you to turn your Bible to Psalm 94. Psalm 94. The first application I want to make tonight is to those who have a responsibility to confront and correct. So that would be parents, pastors, teachers, other authorities who have been, people who have been placed in authority over other people. If you have some kind of a role or responsibility of leadership or authority over others, this application's for you. You know, when it comes to this matter of confronting and correcting people, it requires wisdom. It requires wisdom to know what to say and when to say it and how to say it and how often to say it and when to stop. So there's a balance. And I think Psalm 94 helps us with that a little bit. So I want you to follow along. I'm going to start at verse 1. And we're just going to take a quick little walk through the first part of this psalm. Psalm 94. "O Lord God, to whom vengeance belongeth, O God, to whom vengeance belongeth, show thyself. Lift up thyself, thou judge of the earth. Render a reward to the proud. Lord, how long shall the wicked, how long shall the wicked triumph? How long shall they utter and speak hard things, and all the workers of iniquity boast themselves? They break in pieces thy people, O Lord, and afflict thine heritage. They slay the widow and the stranger and murder the fatherless. Yet they say, the Lord shall not see, neither shall the God of Jacob regard it." Now, those first seven verses are a description of the wicked. These are people who need to be rebuked for their sinful behavior. These are people who need to receive wise counsel. Okay, so first seven verses, we're talking about the wicked. Now look at verse number 8. Verse number 8 says, "Understand, ye brutish among the people, and ye fools, when will you be wise? He that planted the ear, shall he not hear? He that formed the eye, shall he not see? He that chastiseth the heathen, shall not he correct? He that teacheth man knowledge, shall not he know? The Lord knoweth the thoughts of man, that they are vanity." Okay, so those verses really are a description of God. That the wicked are going about their wicked behaviors and activities, and they're thinking that they're getting away with it. God, you know, doesn't know what's going on. They have no fear of God before their eyes. And this part of the psalm says, God hears, he sees, and he knows. The wicked are not getting away with anything with God. Judgment day is coming. He will deal with the wicked in his time. But now let's go to verse number 12. Because verse number 12 is a description of how God deals with his own precious people. So how is God going to deal with the wicked? He's going to bring them into judgment. Okay? But now look at verse number 12. "Blessed is the man whom thou chastenest, O Lord, and teachest him out of thy law, that thou mayest give him rest from the days of adversity, until the pit be digged for the wicked. For the Lord will not cast off his people, neither will he forsake his inheritance, but judgment shall return unto righteousness, and all the upright in heart shall follow it." Now, those verses tell us that God deals differently with his own people than he does with the wicked. So the wicked, he's digging a pit for them. Okay, they're gonna fall into the pit, never more to rise. So that's their outcome. But God deals differently with his people. He chastens them and he teaches them out of his word to make us more like Christ. He works with us day by day like a faithful parent with his child. He instructs us and he even corrects us and even gives us a spanking if we need it. He chastens us. He is faithful to us to conform us to Christ's image. And verse number 15, verse number 15 is a description of how godly people receive godly correction. It says, judgment, that is God dealing with his people in chastening, okay? He's chasing us to make us better, to grow us in godliness. That kind of judgment shall return unto righteousness, and all the upright in heart shall follow it. So how do godly people respond to godly correction? It will yield the peaceable fruit of righteousness in their lives. They will receive it. They will grow from it. The ungodly won't be able to benefit from it, but God's own precious people, those who are upright in heart, they will profit from it, and although they might not like it on the front end, they will receive it, and they will benefit from it, and they will return to it, and they will walk in it. That brings me to verse number 16. Verse number 16 asks an important question. Look at it with me. "Who will rise up for me against the evildoers, or who will stand up for me against the workers of iniquity?" So the question there is, who will stand up and defend the righteous from the wicked? And of course, God will do that. But that question still rings down the halls of time. To those who hold a position of leadership or authority from God, those who have a responsibility to correct and to confront when those that they are responsible for are going astray, The question is, what person will stand up and tell those people what they need to hear? In love. Okay, so what is the balance? The balance is, who will take the right stand? Who will say what needs to be said? Who will know how and when to rebuke? But then the other side of the coin is, there also comes a point where you have to leave the results to God. You leave the results with Him. So these verses have encouraged me on many occasions, because sometimes it is my responsibility to say hard things to people who may not want to hear them. But I have learned my responsibility is just to say the right thing in the right way and be obedient to God's word. And how people respond to what I say is not my problem. That's not up to me. I have to leave that with God. Godly people will eventually appreciate it. Ungodly people may not. And so I guess in that sense, how people receive God's word is revelatory about where they really stand with Him. Okay, but if you have a role to confront and correct, your job is to tell people what they need to hear, to be faithful, to speak on behalf of God, to say what needs to be said. The question is, will you be a faithful messenger, and what those people do with what you say is then going to be between them and the Lord. And you can leave that in God's hands. And trust me, if those are righteous people, God is well able to get them to return them to the path of righteousness. All the upright in heart will follow it. But you know what? If they're not godly people, they may scorn and reject the truth and not benefit from it. But we're called to be faithful messengers and to speak on God's behalf when that's called for. And you know what? I'm afraid that many times those of us who have a responsibility to do this kind of confronting and correcting, I'm afraid that many times we don't do a very good job of it. Because it's not easy to confront. It's not easy to correct. You know, I personally, it seems like sometimes I'm just, that's my life. You know, I'm always confronting things. It's not my favorite thing to do. But it's a blessing when you see God working in people's lives to bring them into the path of righteousness and truth. And that's our calling. And then I have another application. And this is for those who were on the receiving end of wise godly counsel. My question for you is, how are you responding to the people who are trying to speak God's word into your life? Is it possible that there is a person here who is despising godly instruction? It could be a young person. It could be an adult. I mean, maybe you haven't lashed out and given anybody a black eye yet. But in your heart, are you hating wise counsel of godly people as they try to speak to you God's word into your life? Are you saying to yourself, you know, I'm sick and tired of my parents telling me how to live my life? Are you lashing out verbally at your mom and dad, yelling at them, getting in their face, telling them off, saying that you hate them, telling them to leave you alone? If so, you need to beware. You're headed off towards the darkness of foolishness and destruction. That's not the way to walk into the perfect light of God. And so I would encourage you, turn around while there's still time. If you want to walk in the path of God's will, you have to turn away from the darkness of sin and sinners and ignorance and deception and foolish thinking. Turn away from that foolish, rebellious thinking of a heart that is proud and unteachable, and saying, I don't want to learn wisdom from anybody else. I want to do it my own way. I want to go my own way, do my own thing. Repent of that heart attitude. Humble yourself before God and before those people who love you, that God has put into your life, and who are trying to reach you with the truth of God. Humble yourself with them and be listening with a humble, teachable heart, and receive to yourself what those people are sharing with you. What does our verse say? Hear counsel and receive instruction, that thou mayest be wise in thy latter end. And so my question for you tonight is there any evidence in your life at this moment that you are in the process of rejecting godly counsel in any of these first four ways that we have discussed? Have you been seeking counsel insincerely, playing games with the process? Have you not been wanting to hear it and trying to stay away from those who are sharing it? Have you been talking instead of listening to the wisdom that comes from the wise? Are you scorning godly wisdom in your heart? If so, I want to encourage you, make the right choice to adopt a different attitude. And ask God to give you that humble, teachable heart so that you can learn and grow. Would you bow your heads with me, please?